a production of South Dakota Public.
We will call the Senate Local Government Committee to order. And please, thank you. We will ask the secretary to call the roll.
Senator Gillespie, Klocek, Miles,
here.
Schmidt, Teason,
here.
Bradford,
here.
Gant,
here.
Mr. Chair, you have a quorum.
Thank you. I would entertain a motion to approve the. Minutes from the last meeting.
Second.
It's removed and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carries. Quickly, some housekeeping items. Senate Bill 115, the chair would entertain a motion to refer that to the Senate Health Committee.
So moved.
Moved and seconded to move that to the Health Committee. This was a mistake on the good senator's part. Really has nothing to do with local government.
I was trying to figure that aspect out.
Yeah. So we will vote on that motion. Secretary will call the roll. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay.
Senator Gillespie, Klocek, Miles,
aye.
Schmidt, Teason,
aye.
Bradford,
aye.
Gant,
aye.
Mr. Chair, there are four yeas. No
nays. Motion carries. Senate Bill 115 is referred to Senate Health. Continuing on cleanup, Senate Bill 146, we had that committee hearing last week, and I've spoken with the prime sponsor, and he would prefer that we table that motion, table his bill, and that's what he is requesting. So the chair would entertain a motion to table. I did. I talked to him right before the committee, and that's what he asked. He said he's not going to come over. He's doing Appropriations Committee.
Second.
It's removed and seconded to the table, Senate Bill 146. That's a non-debatable motion. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Gillespie, Klocek, Miles.
Aye.
Schmidt, Teason.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Gant.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay, we're just about out of them. I don't see Attorney General. Would you go get Senator Peterson? He's in room 414, Senate Tax.
The Attorney General.
We will bring up House Bill 1103. Which is to authorize the use of golf carts in certain municipalities and improvement districts. Proponents, House Bill 1103.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Val Rausch, District 4, Big Stone City. I bring this bill today because we had a situation in our community in Milbank where an individual likes to drive his electric golf car, and he wanted to take it uptown, but he wants to do it legally, so he goes to the courthouse and he tries to get it licensed because he noticed that some gas-powered golf cars have been able to get licensed, and he wanted to get his electric one licensed. Well, because he does not have a combustion engine, and it doesn't meet certain speed requirements for the road, he couldn't get a license for it, even though maybe a gas one would. Well, we don't encourage slow-moving vehicles out on the highway, but we thought that if we could get something that would allow municipalities to allow them on their city streets with some minimum requirements, or the requirements that the municipality would then put in their ordinance, maybe we could have a nice fit for people who maybe live around a golf course or would like to take their golf cars uptown. They're no longer just for golf courses. We see them all over the place. And you go south in this country, Arizona especially, they actually have special lanes on some of their roads for golf cars. So it's not a new concept, but it's something that is not presently licensable in the state of South Dakota. So we don't want to have them licensed. What this would merely do is allow the municipalities to permit them. They still would not be legal on highways. They would not, county and or state highways. So they would have to be only on city streets and city streets that are not highways. Millbank has U.S. Highway 12 goes right through the middle of Millbank. South Dakota Highway 15 goes north and south, and they would not be permitted on those roads. They could cross them, but they would have to stay on the city streets. The municipality themselves would by ordinance, set up the fee structure that they want to charge in permitting, not licensing. And that it needs to be a distinction. It's a permit, not a license. License would indicate that they could go wherever. It's just a permit. They can only go on city streets or on the designated routes in the city that the city municipality would specify in their ordinance. We, in this bill, are mandating that they would have a minimum of a proof of insurance, and they would also have to meet the slow vehicle standards in state law with placards or appropriate. Municipalities could make it more strict. I mean, they could require the lights, they could require the blinkers, they could require whatever they wanted to in the ordinance, but that would be up to the municipality. So it's permissive. It would just allow municipalities that chose to, by ordinance, allow electric golf cars to be on their streets. And with that, Mr. Chair, I will step down and make myself available for questions.
Thank you, Representative Rausch. Perfect timing. Further proponents of House Bill 1103.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, committee members. Good to be over here. I'll have to catch my breath. But I'm sure that Senator or Representative Rausch has done an excellent job in presenting the bill. And I feel that it's a bill that gives the cities a choice if they want to do this or not. It's a permissive bill, and it's a piece of legislation that a lot of other states have. If any of you have vacationed down in Arizona and you go to any of the communities around the Phoenix area, you'll see golf carts running around the municipal streets down there, and they allow it down there. And here all we're doing, you already can... I'm sure, as Representative Rausch has told you, you can already license a gas golf cart, and we're just allowing the use of the electric golf carts, too, and would appreciate your favorable consideration. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator. Further proponents of House Bill 1103. Further proponents. Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1103? Any opponents? Seeing none, we will close testimony and open up for committee questions and or action. Senator Teason.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I signed on to this bill with some serious trepidation. But let me explain to you why I'm on it and what I see as the beneficial portions of it. First of all, I've got a golf course or two or three in my district, and sure enough, I've got some folks that live a block away that want to buzz down to the golf course on their golf cart so they can play golf. And sure enough, I've had one or two of them over the course of years that have been caught by some of our Eagle Eye police officers in Rapid City, and so there probably needs to be some sort of solution to that. What the good parts, I think, of this bill are that, first of all, it is a local option. It's a municipalities can decide, and I always tend to defer to local option. I think that's a good place for decisions to be made. And if it passes and it comes up in Rapid City, South Dakota, I'll probably have to head down to the council meeting and tell them, I think, you know, if we want to allow them within the streets next door adjacent to golf courses and not on Jackson Boulevard, that, you know, I would hope that they would see the wisdom of that and adopt that. Although Jackson Boulevard is adjacent to a golf course, we're going to have to deal with that subject as well. But I think local option generally is a good thing. And, of course, we're not talking about licensing here. We're talking about issuing a permit, and so we're not into the license plate issue. And as some of you may know, I sat in this very room all morning as we dealt with Senate Bill 175, which deals with ATVs. And we have seen fit in our state to license ATVs. These are vehicles that can go 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 miles an hour, all with a manufacturer's sticker on it that says not to be used for roadway use. And we have those things licensed as motorcycles in the state of South Dakota and have for the last 20 years. And based on the action of the committee this morning, we'll continue to be licensed on all the roads in the state of South Dakota, whether it's the gravel roads, highways, or whatever. That'll continue. So I guess if it's fair for the ATVs, maybe it's fair for the golf carts. And again, I think this is a limited exemption that doesn't involve licensing. It gives municipalities the option, and that's why I signed on. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Bradford.
Just a comment or two, I guess, to the committee. I wonder if the post office department will be aware of this. And my daughter has a postman that walks around putting mail out. He might decide to use a golf cart. I wondered if that, plus the water meter man, I could foresee several of those carts going around the community to do little jobs that guys are doing afoot now. So maybe it's a good thing, you know. Now I can hitch a ride instead of having to ride. The only thing is that I had a bill that was kind of killed because they said we shouldn't put it in the hands of local government. They couldn't handle that. So I'm wondering about this local government thing now. But I feel that this is a good bill. There's nothing wrong with this.
Thank you, Senator. Any action on the bill? Senator Bradford.
I'll move to pass.
I'll second.
Thank you. We have a do pass motion and a second. Any further discussion on that motion? Seeing none. Senator Miles.
I'll just make a comment. I agree with Senator Tease, and I do think it's goes back to local control. They're just permitting, not licensing. It's permissive. I guess I'm okay. We'll try it. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no other discussion, we will close that portion, and those in favor will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay, and the secretary will call the roll.
Senators Gillespie, Klocek, Miles.
Yes, aye.
Schmidt. Teason.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Gant.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, there are four yeas, two excused.
House Bill 1103 passes 4-0.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Senator Bradford, I'll give you the gavel. We'll take up Senate Bill
133. Okay. Senate Bill 133, we'll now take up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jason Gant, State Senator, Sioux Falls. Senate Bill 133 is a change to the open meetings requirements. What we're changing with this legislation is to allow the state's attorney to, basically is to allow the state's attorney to use another state's attorney or the Attorney General's office to help investigate and work through an open meetings violation. We have, and we could have more in the future, of situations where you have a dispute between your local county's state's attorney and, say, the county commission or or another office within the county, and it may be such a contentious issue that the state's attorney feels that it would be better if an outside third party state's attorney or the attorney general's office were to come in and conduct the investigation and handle any complaints. This is all permissive. It's up to the state's attorney on whether or not they want to go down this route of allowing either or to take place. I think it's very important that we allow some of these conflicts that have and may continue to arise in the future to have this option of having a third party be able to look at the situation and not actually have an involvement with the actual proceedings. In discussions with county commission organization and the attorney general's office, they are in favor of this and they support this legislation, and I think some of them will also be testifying next. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I would encourage the committee's support of Senate Bill 133. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Gant. And are there any other proponents for Senate Bill 133?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Charlie McGuigan with the Attorney General's Office. And the Attorney General's Office is willing to take on the obligations that are set out in Senate Bill 133. As Senator Gant has indicated, we have worked with him on this bill. Right now, on average, there are about two complaints across the state every year concerning county commissions. Right now what is happening is the state's attorney basically has two options. One is to look into that investigation on their own and proceed according to our current law, or make an arrangement with a neighboring state's attorney. And this is a fairly common practice that state's attorneys have. Anytime they get into a conflict situation, they oftentimes have an arrangement with a neighbor to help them sort out the situation and avoid the conflict. Senate Bill 133 still allows that practice, and it gives them a third option. That third option is to come to the Attorney General and ask the Attorney General to help out in that situation. As I stated, that's something we are willing to do, and we are in support of Senate Bill 133, and I will stand by for questions.
Thank you. Why don't we see if there's any other? Are there any other proponents?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, David Bordewijk, registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Newspaper Association. We, too, support this bill. I served on the Attorney General, then Attorney General Larry Long's Open Government Task Force 5, 6, 7 years ago. When the legislation came out of that task force creating the Open Meetings Commission, and I don't recall that we had discussions related to this option at that time, but I think it's just been a matter of experience and history as the Open Meetings Commission has done its work that this has sort of come into play, and I think this bill gives a good, valid, viable option out there for local state's attorneys and counties to deal with, so appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. Are there any other proponents? If not, are there any opponents? Any opponents? If not, I'll open it to questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. McGuigan? Am I correct that this proposed language would it mimic the way criminal cases can currently be handled?
Mr. Chairman? Yes. Senator Teason, that is correct. This would be almost the exact identical process used in criminal proceedings.
Thank you.
Follow-up?
Senator Teason?
Yeah. Thank you. One additional question. Does this bill make it possible for the Attorney General to act in the absence of action from the state's attorney?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Teason, in my opinion, no. The state's attorney has to first look at the matter, and then he gets or she gets to make one of these four decisions. And one of them is the possibility of sending it to the attorney general. So it still has to begin with the state's attorney, and it's up to the state's attorney to make that decision as to whether it should go to the attorney general's office or not. For the open meeting commission portion, when it comes to the misdemeanor criminal end, of course, we have concurrent jurisdiction with the state's attorneys. And in a very limited, very specific situation that I can't even imagine at this point in time, the possibility is there that we could step in criminally, but it would be highly unlikely.
Yes. One quick follow-up.
Yes.
So in that regard, it would be slightly different than the way criminal cases are handled, because currently the Attorney General could step in and technically overrule a state's attorney and take on a prosecution. In this case, the state's attorney could, in fact, may be the final decider and could block any further action by the Attorney General.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Senator Teason, that's correct, even though in criminal matters, I can only think of one time we have ever stepped in when a state's attorney has not done something.
Yeah. I have a question, John. You said that it had to be brought about by that attorney general first. And is he the only one who can ask for you to get involved?
Senator Bradford, as it's currently written, the initial complaint must go to the state's attorney. And that's the way the process works right now. Right now, then, that state's attorney only has two options. Three. One is to prosecute the individual. One is to file a report with us saying there was no violation. Or three, to send it to the Open Meeting Commission. This bill now gives that state's attorney a fourth option, and that's either to allow another state's attorney to look at the matter or to send it to our office, and then we would have all of the options that a state's attorney would have.
One follow-up, then. In here, I see it says that upon receiving a referral from a state's attorney, will you pick the attorney who comes in to handle it?
Senator Bradford, within our office? State's attorney?
If there's another, let's say you're going to use a neighboring attorney, then you would pick that?
Senator Bradford, if the state's attorney would decide to use a neighboring state's attorney, that would be up to that state's attorney to do that. And I will tell you, oftentimes right now they already have that relationship. So, for example, the Bennett County state's attorney most likely already has a relationship with the Jackson County state's attorney to take a case that they might have an issue or a conflict with. That relationship already exists. This bill would allow them to also do it with a open meeting complaint made against the county commission to use that existing relationship that they have in criminal cases.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? I'll open it to discussion and or action.
Mr. Chairman, move do pass.
Second.
It's been moved, do pass, and second. We'll call the roll. And aye means pass, and nay means no.
Senator Gillespie, Klocek, Miles.
Aye.
Schmidt, Teason.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Gant.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, there are 4 yeas, 0 nays.
We go to the floor, do pass.
Thank you, Senator. Next up, we will bring House Bill 1166, clarify the locations where the local boards of equalization may meet. Welcome, Representative.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of this distinguished committee. Bill Van Gerpen, State Representative, District 19, Bonham Douglas, Hutchinson, part of Turner County. Coming before you today on behalf of the townships to request that we update a law that has been in the books since 1890. As you know, things have changed significantly since then. And back then, the law, and it still is current, requires that the local board of adjustment shall meet at the office of the clerk of the finance officer of the township or municipality. The office of the clerk or the finance officer of the township or the municipality. And the problem with that currently is townships don't have offices. And so what we're trying to do is update this to the current scenario. And my colleague from the townships will testify and indicate how we intend to do that via this bill. And I'll stand by for any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative. Further proponents of House Bill 1166.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Dick Howard with the South Dakota Association of Towns and Townships. Well, as a good representative explain the bill, it's just to update it to modern times. Currently, the clerk's office is usually in the clerk's house, and in a lot of our townships, that's big enough to hold all of the voters and the residents within the township. But there are other townships that that have rural development occurring. The house gets a little crowded. So, what this proposes to do right now, The law says that the Board of Supervisors of the Township, the governing body of each incorporated municipality, together with a member of the school board, shall meet on the third Monday of March at the office of the clerk for the purpose of equalizing the assessment of property in each township. We're just proposing to take out the section there that says at the office of the clerk, and then leaving the date the same, the purpose the same, then adding a statement that says the meeting shall be held at the office of the municipal clerk or finance officer, the office of the township clerk, or a location established pursuant to section 8-3-1 by the township board. Section 8-3-1 says that the citizens of each organized civil township qualified to vote at general elections shall annually assemble and hold a township meeting on the first Tuesday of March. I mean, things are pretty specific in township law. The Township Board of Supervisors shall by resolution establish the location where the annual meeting shall be held. The location of the annual meeting shall be in the county where the township is located. Notice of the time and place of such township meeting shall be given by the publication thereof for 3 consecutive days in a daily or 2 consecutive weeks in a weekly newspaper of general circulation in the township. So it's done by resolution. It's advertised, and everyone knows where the meeting's going to be. Now, the law has been modified dealing with the regular meetings of the board to allow them to hold the meeting at a location established by the Board of Supervisors under the same process. So that's all we're proposing here, is that the local equalization boards could meet at other places, and it would be the location would be adopted by the supervisors after giving public notice, and would be located within the county and all those same restrictions. So it's a pretty simple bill, but I guess we had a problem last year that dealing with some clerk's house. So we'd like to change that and give the Board of Supervisors that authority.
Thank you. Further proponents of House Bill 1166. Further proponents. Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1166? Any opponents? Seeing none, we will close public testimony and open up to committee questions and or action. Senator Teason?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I presume if we don't act on this bill, the townships are going to ask us to build them an office. So I'll move due pass.
It's been moved and seconded to pass on House Bill 1166. Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Gillespie, Klocek, Miles.
Aye.
Schmidt, Thiessen.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Gant.
Aye.
Chair, there are four yeas.
House Bill 1166 passes 4-0. Yes, I've heard the motion. And the second. And it is a consent item, but since we just have four on the committee, I'm going to object. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
That concludes our calendar. So chair would entertain a motion to adjourn. So moved. Moved and seconded to adjourn. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. We are adjourned.